So I'm really, really excited that we get to talk today. I just love having conversations. So whenever you want to ask something back or you just have another thought coming up, just bring it in there. I love having it conversational. If you don't have any questions or if that's not happening, it's also fine. No, we also have some questions.
Yeah, I was actually thinking in the shower. I was like, I want to hear about her faith journey. So I was like, I wonder if I can get a question in there somewhere.
you can just pop it in there. Hey you, and welcome back to the Mood Lab. I'm so happy to share another wonderful episode with you. I'm actually so excited to share this particular one. And I know I probably say that every week, but honestly, this one was so special because let me introduce my guest for a second first. So I've been talking with Ava for this episode, and Ava is just the most wonderful soul. She is so kind, and it was just so fun to talk to her. And I just felt like, I don't know, I feel like if she would live here in Lisbon, I would definitely want to be friends with her. Other than that, I feel like she brought in so much wisdom and so much info on gut health, overall health, and it's so beautiful because it wasn't planned, but this conversation was infused with scripture, and I just love how this conversation flowed. To give you a little rundown on what we talked about her story, we talked about going from having lots of intolerances to healing your gut lining, we talk about creating resilience in your gut to eat more freely, we talk about the way that she got into nutrition, basically. We also talk about food fears and all that information confusion that is going on out there, and dive into this whole myth around good and bad foods and how we can approach healthy eating basically in a less restrictive way, but still acknowledging what our body can deal with and what it cannot. Actually, during this conversation, I just felt the huge draw to be working with Ava myself. And so we're actually starting to work together on Monday, and she's gonna help me to figure out my gut issues and also, yeah, just in general, helping me to reintroduce a lot of foods that I've cut out over the past years. And I'm really excited. I'm also very curious to see how that goes. I'm also a bit scared, to be honest, because after having cut out some foods for over 10 years, it is definitely a wild journey to embark on. But I feel like with Ava by my side, I feel good about it. I was telling her, I just want her to hold my hand through it all. And I think she'll definitely be doing that, at least virtually, obviously. So yeah, I'm really, really happy to work with her. And I feel like after you've listened to this episode, you'll also feel the conviction to be like, oh, she is just such a wonderful human. So if you don't feel it, I don't know what's going on there. But without further ado, I don't want to keep you too long with this introduction. As you know, it is always so helpful if you could leave 5 stars and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcast or on Spotify, depending on which platform you're using. As you know, that helps so much, and it gets this episode and all the other episodes out there and gets this podcast growing, and that would just mean the world to me. So without further ado, let's dive into the episode. Hi Ava, it is so wonderful to have you here on the Mood Lab. I'm so excited for this conversation, and we've been talking a bit beforehand, so I'm really curious to dive deeper into everything and for everybody to get to know you and the work that you're doing. So would you mind introducing yourself and, yeah, what you do, who you are, and all the good stuff?
Yeah, so I'm Ava, or Evie. My friends all call me Evie. And I'm a functional nutrition practitioner for women. I started out in the health and fitness industry, but I say the air quotes health and fitness industry because when I was practicing health and fitness 6 or 7 years ago, it wasn't really reflective of true health. Like in Australia, the health and fitness industry is very much a focus on macros and calories and doing heaps of cardio to lose fat and stuff like that. And there's not a focus on nutrition as far as its properties and its ability to heal or create ill health in the body. So there's not a lot of wisdom or intention around our food, except for like if it fits your macros. So it's very basic. And so that was kind of my approach when I was initially in the health and fitness industry. And then I just started getting all these health issues. My skin was flaring up and nothing was working. I was trying all these topical creams. My doctor told me I had perioral dermatitis. I had gut issues. I was just constantly bloated and I thought it was normal because I actually didn't know what it felt like not to feel bloated. Like I genuinely actually always looked, you know, 12 weeks pregnant or maybe 16 weeks pregnant. So I like would suck it in, but yeah, I always was bloated and I just thought it was normal. And I was in like the health and fitness industry. And I had been to doctors and they would tell me that it was normal and I should just eat more fiber. But when fasting forward, like what I know now is that fiber can actually be one of the most problematic things for people with gut dysfunction, because the fiber is also going to feed the pathogenic bacteria and the yeast in your gut. So it's not only going to potentially help you have a bowel movement, but it's also actually going to potentially make the dysbiosis that you have worse. So it's just a very oversimplified recommendation for somebody who has bloating and gut issues. But essentially, I started to get fed up with how I was feeling. So I started doing my own research and got put in touch with this amazing functional medicine practitioner in Melbourne. And I was already a PT, and I decided that as I was starting to feel all these benefits in my body with the supplements and the different nutrition approach I had, I wanted to offer that to my PT clients, because I could see that the health, the internal health issues that they were struggling with were far more serious than just them being fit and able to run on a treadmill or able to lift weights. Like so many of my PT clients had really bad period problems or really bad acne or, you know, eczema, all of these things. And as I worked with this functional medicine practitioner, I just became so aware of the power of food to create disease or to create health. And I wanted to offer that to my PT clients. So I actually started paying this functional medicine practitioner to mentor me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just started helping my clients with their health issues, and anything that was out of my scope, I would take to this practitioner and she would help me like go through their blood work and figure out exactly what was going on for them. And I just fell in love with it. It felt so rewarding seeing people who had, you know, been to gastroenterologists and been told, you know, had surgeries like colonoscopies or like, you know, really invasive investigative work, but still had been told, oh, there's nothing that we can really do. We can't see anything in there. But some of these practitioners, these professionals in their field, they weren't even assessing their nutritional input. But these are people that have studied for, you know, 10 years on the gastrointestinal tract, but they're not focusing on nutrition as being a cause for, you know, issues. And I found that crazy, because to me, I think the number one way our internal environment interacts with our external environment is the food that we eat every day and goes through our digestive tract.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's something we should assess maybe if you've got, you know, gut problems.
I mean, it's just a bit crazy to think that you would go to a doctor. And I mean, I've experienced that too. And someone would just assess. For example, I had a year where I was waking up with eczema on my eyelids every single day, and I would not be able to eat anything either. So one day I would eat a zucchini, I would like completely have the worst stomach ache. The other day I could eat it, like it was just like hit or miss basically. And I would go to a practitioner who completely focuses on allergies and intolerances, so like a really highly professional doctor for that. And he basically left me with saying to me, well, just write in a notebook what feels good and what doesn't. And I was like, okay, so like, how do I go from here? this means like I cannot eat anything. and then wow. I would go to this like doctor who's like focused on the skin, and he would just like literally just give me a topical cream, not even asking anything about my diet, anything about what I'm doing in my life. If I'm stressed or anything, like really nothing. It's like, oh yeah, you've got eczema, here's your cream. And I was just basically sitting there and being like, so I put this on every single morning now so that it goes away during the day and then it comes back during the night and I just put it on again. Like, where does that make sense? And so, yeah, that's, I definitely got that in a sense of, I felt so lost at these moments that I was like, okay, I need to take this in my own into my own hands, and there's so much valuable information out there. It can also get overwhelming because there's a lot of contradicting information, but we'll get into that a bit later. I think that's a good thing to focus on as well. But yeah, so definitely so important to like look at, okay, what are we actually consuming and
totally seeing and with dermatologists as well. Yeah. Like, I've had so many clients that have been to dermatologists, and the skin is, whatever's represented on the skin is a manifestation of something internal. So that is also a crazy field of work for me, because I'm like, why aren't we assessing what's going on inside, like what's going internally? That always blows my mind. And something that I like, when I have seen professionals in the medical field in the past, their intake forms, they only have maybe 10 minutes with you, 15 minutes, half an hour, and their intake forms do not really assess your background or your health. So essentially those professionals are trained to spot advanced states of disease. And when they do spot and label those things, what they're trained to do is treat the disease, not the person that has it. Yeah. And a lot of the time their diagnosis is wrong. Like, there are so many different skin conditions that can look similar to a skin condition they might be medicating you for, but it might not actually be what you have. But yeah, there's a lot of non-individualized treatment of patients in the conventional health model. And the functional medicine perspective is all about treating the person that has the condition. And I've even had, you know, functional medicine mentors who've said, forget about the disease, forget about the diagnosis. It doesn't matter. It's about this person and their bio-individual needs, where their hormones are at, where their gut health is at. Because when you optimize every sort of layer and pillar of the human body and that person's health, healing just comes. You don't need to understand the disease. You need to understand how to heal.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, that's a really important perspective to take on, to see, okay, what is like, what can be done internally, because it's like out of balance, or even like mentally what is out of balance, and then from there on these other things just simply resolve themselves. I mean, that's also a reflection of my journey. A lot of the things that I was struggling with that were really intense, like the eczema, for example, they just went away with me getting better mentally and also getting in a better place. And also obviously I did work with certain things, trying to optimize my food intake and trying to heal my gut lining. Literally didn't know what I was doing, but I tried, and it eventually definitely worked to some extent. So yeah, it definitely comes from the inside, and it doesn't help from like looking from the outside in, but the other way around in a way. Yeah. So
how many years ago was that you had the eczema on the eyes? Because that sounds horrible.
Yeah, that was 2017. That was a tough time for sure. I've talked about this on here for a couple of times already, because like that really pushed me towards self-optimization and trying to like fix my life, basically. Which in the end, I mean, we just talked about you wondering, can I ask her about like maybe like bring in the journey of to faith as well. And so basically back then that actually propelled me forward more and more into the new age spiritual field, into that space. And that was, reflecting back on it, I definitely learned some things, though. There were good parts in there as well, things that I learned that I grew in. but there was also a huge part which was literally just going from one course to one like training to another and constantly trying to like get better and then being on a sort of high but not really resolving everything and then just mm-hmm. trying to grasp onto the next thing. And it's almost while you're doing something, the next thing is already sold to you in a way. So it was a bit of a, yeah, not so good bubble to be in, to be honest. And while you're in there, you don't really notice that much. And at some point, I got to the point where, so I was also dealing, since I was a younger child, I was dealing with panic attacks and anxiety. And so at some point, I was thinking, and that was only last year, so why is this coming back now once again after I've done so much healing work and I've tried to optimize so much and everyone's telling you like you've got everything inside of you, everything that you need, and you can like base everything on yourself. And I was at a point where I was like, I'm just so exhausted, I can't do it by myself, like I just cannot. Mm-hmm. And there was the point where basically I guess Jesus was like, okay, I think she's ready now. So I'm just going to draw her back in. And
you reached the end of yourself.
Yeah, reached the end of herself. And I was called to prayer and I started praying. And from there on, I started Googling who's Jesus and why Jesus and like why Christianity. And I started reading books, started watching and listening to sermons, and that's what my journey started. And
wow.
Literally, like so many things just resolved themselves and I feel so much stronger. And I'm literally at a point where I'm like, how did I ever walk this path on my own? It's like, So that's the journey basically, and it's just been so beautiful and so rewarding, and I feel so lucky to have been chosen and being able to choose back and getting to know God and Jesus in that sense. Yeah, just so lucky.
I love that. I love how your walk really reflects sort of effortless change. Like,
yeah.
People just need to meet Jesus and then just focus on their relationship with him. And then everything else just falls into place. But a lot of the time in churches, we can teach this kind of gospel where it's like, meet Jesus and then you need to focus on getting your life in order. But the more you focus on Jesus, your life just, you just start wanting to please him and love him.
Yeah.
And everything else in your life just falls into place. But sometimes people have that focus of trying in their own strength to sort their lives out, and that's exhausting. So I love, it sounds like, there's just a lot of effortless change in your life where you're just, things are just falling into place, and it's so awesome.
Yeah, that's so beautifully expressed as well. Yeah, that's exactly what is happening, and it's just so stunning and beautiful to me, and I just feel so blessed. I also just loved when we had our little pre-chat and you said to me that you talk with your husband, and I think he said something about, I don't know, podcasts and like God has put it on his heart, and so I was like, oh, this is so amazing.
Totally. Yeah. No, I think it's really interesting, you know, when you're wanting God to bless you or move in your life and then he does and you're like, oh, wow. And then it makes me think of in James, how it says you do not have because you do not ask.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's true.
And
God
is like our loving Heavenly Father. And if you look at all of the descriptions of love in the Bible, in the New Testament, it describes love and it says, you know, and it's telling us how we should love others. Love is patient, love is kind, you know, love is all these amazing things. And a lot of the time we can read that as, okay, that's how we're supposed to be. But actually, even though that's true, it's a description of God's love towards us. So why do we think that God expects us to love people more than he loves us, more than he pours out his love to us, you know, like, and if people that we care about, like my son, if he asks me for something, unless it's like a bad thing, I want to bless him. Like, I want to do that. But a lot of the time I feel like I forget that God wants to bless us. It says that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. So it's funny because sometimes I just forget to ask him for things. But then when I do, I'm like, he often he often says yes, and I get them, and I'm like, oh, I should ask more often.
That is so true. That is so true. I feel like, yeah, it's so beautiful to just see how, even with these little things, we can really see him working in our lives, and that's so important. And yeah, not having to do, yeah, just, we talked about this in Bible study this week, that we have to, like, in a way, what we have to practice is like the trust in him, I guess, and yes, trusting that when we ask something, that he will come through, and obviously he will do it in his will, in his plan. So it might not look like the way that we first imagined it, but if we look closely, we can see him working so much in our lives, and that is just so beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. I also love that, you know, that scripture about where it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
And sometimes people think, oh, that's just any desire I have. So like, I want a Porsche, you know.
Yeah.
You know, God might give you a Porsche. But I think it's really important to realize that when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, your desires are his desires. So you automatically get the desires of your heart, because when you're in that really close, connected relationship with him, you are just an extension of what he desires for you, if that makes sense. So you're just automatically desiring the things that he desires for you, and they are automatically coming to pass, if that makes sense, which I just love that idea.
It makes so much sense. I feel like, I know from my experience, especially because I've been like into the manifestation realm for a while, I've tried to manifest things that I thought that I needed and that I thought that I wanted. And honestly, bless God that most of the things didn't come through, which I'm so grateful for.
Yeah.
But I literally thought, oh, why aren't these things working? Like, what is wrong with me? And people would tell me, like, you have to like focus more on it and do this and do that, and like give you all these recommendations of how you should do things. And I would see like other people like being so deep into that manifestation game, let's call it, and they would just like get everything they wanted, kind of, or at least they said so. And as soon as I was like reading more and more scripture, or am reading more and more scripture, and I'm in his word, and I'm really walking as closely as I can with God right now, and I'm really trying, I noticed that my own desires, literally a lot of them just like fell off. They just like dropped away. And that has been so beautiful to me, because I noticed that even when I'm thinking of, okay, where do you want to be in so many, like in 5 to 10 years or whatever, what's your goal or whatever, and I would always have these like huge plans for everything, and I'm literally at a point where I'm like, I don't know where I'm actually going to be at, and I'm fine with that. Like, I feel like I'm on this journey and I know where my gifts are at, and everything else I'm trusting in it being aligned in a way, and I'm just taking one step after another, and I've just seen him come through with like putting me into a direction that I first didn't really think I would want to go into, but then noticing while I was walking that direction that it actually feels really good and it actually really aligns with me. So it's just beautiful to like sit back for a moment, but then on the other hand, I'm also obviously like taking action, but in just a way more aligned way. It's very hard to describe. It's very surrendered. Yeah.
Totally get that. Beautiful. Something as well that I would just say is, sometimes when people come out of the New Age and they become Christians, they're so scared of the whole sort of manifestation thing. But I think it's funny, because the enemy never comes up with anything original. He just twists things that God does. And I often think, like, I still speak words of life, over my marriage, over my son. And some Christians are a bit scared of that. They're like, oh, that sounds like manifestation. And I'm like, no, God says, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and that we will eat the fruit of the words that we speak. It actually says that. And so I'm like, no, the New Agey, the enemy, he stole that idea, and he made it into this manifestation demonic thing. But actually that original words of life thing, that was God's idea, and God gave our words creative power. And so I love to speak health, like over my son. Like sometimes if like we've been exposed to a cold, I know this is a bit woo-woo, but if he's been exposed to a cold, I just say, thank you that you were healed 2,000 years ago by Jesus on the cross, because it says by his stripes we were healed. Not we are healed, yeah. We were healed.
So I don't know why that would be woo. It's so true. I mean, yeah. It says that.
But I don't think it's woo, but some like so even some of my extended family are like, I'm weird. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. I'm standing on the promises of the fact that I was healed 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's actually the craziest concept to grasp, to just like grasp that all our sins have already been taken away, that everything has been paid for even before we've ever like done it, you know? So
no, it's really a bit of a mind bend. I agree.
It's a mind bend for sure. So yeah. But before we dive a bit more back into like the nutrition side of things, I would still love, like, have you, because I never asked that and now I'm like really curious, have you ever like been walking with, like, since you were born, basically you've been walking with Jesus, or have you also been on a journey with that? I would just love to know now.
Yeah. So I grew up in a Christian family. We went to a slew of very conservative churches that I don't think really embodied the love of Christ. I heard maybe a few good sermons in that time, but a few things went on for me from the age of sort of 14 to 18.
Yeah.
Some sexual assault, just a real spirit of rebellion, quite a bit of stuff went on. And I became very just avoidant of church and God. And I actually even remember sitting in a church service and like intentionally hardening my heart, not wanting the truth to get in, which is crazy. And I'm just so glad that that's not where it ended. About five years ago, I went through another big shift in a relationship, and I was just feeling broken and confused. And I decided to start going back to church. And originally I was like, oh, I'm going to go to one service and then I'm probably not going to go back again because I'll probably hate it. and then I ended up going, and the pastor just said some very pointed things that I knew were for me. And he literally said, like, there's somebody here in the service who's been really hurt by the church, and like just all of this stuff. And that week prior to going to this church service, I had been reading a few scriptures again. And he literally used all of those scriptures in his talk.
That's so powerful. Wow.
And I was like, okay, God, fine. Fine, I'm here.
I heard you loud and clear.
Yeah, and then I was like, all right. I never left. We still go to that church. My husband started coming. And his journey has been amazing, because a few years ago we almost broke up. He was at the point where he was like, this faith Christian thing is probably not for me. I think it's really good for you. Like, I've seen really good benefits for you, like your karma, your blah, blah, blah. But he was like, I just don't think it's for me, and I don't think we can potentially be together.
Yeah.
Fast forward to now. he gets home from work and he's literally blaring, you know, Hillsong worship, and he'll come in like all inspired, so all inspired, like some revelation or download God's given him. So I'm like, don't give up praying for, you know, the people that you love to be saved or to come into like a stronger faith with the Lord, because he wants, if you have a desire for someone to be saved, that's because he's put it there.
Yeah.
There's nothing good. There's nothing good in us, in and of ourselves. Everything that is good and kind and pure and noble comes from him. So if you have, and if you have empathy for someone, if you have compassion for someone, if you look at someone and think, I don't want them to perish, I don't want them to die, like I want them to go to heaven, that's Jesus giving you, that's an inspired thought. So if somebody is on your heart and you want them to be saved, that's because Jesus wants them saved.
Yeah.
And it says that it's not his will that any should perish. So And it also says, I'm a bit sneaky, but it says, it's not his will that any should perish. And then in another part of the Bible, it says, if you ask anything that's within my will, you know, essentially that the answer is yes. So it's like, so God, you said that it's not your will that any should perish. And this person is a Christian. And you said that if we ask anything within your will, then you'll answer and you'll like grant that request.
I love that sneakiness there, but yeah, it's so good. I mean, it's such a good thing, right? So why wouldn't he want that too?
Totally. And I think, you know, God, like he talks about the persistent widow. And that story is all about how the judge who gave in was nothing like God. Like he had nowhere near the compassion, the love, the kindness of God, but he still gave in with the persistence of that widow. And God is saying, I am perfectly kind, perfectly loving. So imagine when you come to me and you're persisting with something, like, of course I'm going to respond. So,
yeah. Oh my, yeah. I just read that part of scripture for the first time like a day or two ago. So that's beautiful.
Ah, look at that confirmation.
That is so aligned. That's beautiful. I love that. But yeah, that's literally, I feel like, how he works. Like it seems like my whole life aligns around certain parts of scripture, like around certain weeks, and it seems to be like everywhere. Mm. And then I would just, like yesterday I was reading the story of where it goes after one of the sheeps, which has escaped. And then like the first thing I see this morning on my Instagram is a girl posting a sermon, which is something, I think it's called, it was like, the title of the sermon was like Graveyard Shift or something. And I just was intrigued and I clicked on it. The first thing the guy says is like, he's talking about exactly that part of scripture. And I'm like, okay, there we go.
So, that's amazing.
That is just so beautiful. I love how that aligns so, so much. Yeah,
that actually, so good. Sorry, we're totally not talking about nutrition right now. But that reminds me of a scripture that says that Jesus has brought us understanding.
Yeah.
And it also says that he will bring back to our remembrance things that we've read.
Yeah.
So when we even just have that little bit of interest or desire to know him more, he is just, he's giving us everything. He's like, here's confirmation, or here's a way for you to understand that scripture better. So that's so cool. I love that.
It's basically like having this teacher who you go to and you're like, I'm currently wanting to study that. And he's like, here you go with all your study material.
So true.
So that's how that works. That's so funny. Okay, let's get back into nutrition for a moment, because I would still love to hear about some of the things that I wanted to talk about. Yeah. But this was so good. So I'm absolutely for the conversation that we have had so far. So, so good. And yeah, I would love if we could. So you already talked a bit about your story and like how you also went to like, where it's just like interested in like the gut healing aspects and like also using all that more like holistic and whole body approach for your clients when you were in like the PT space. And yeah, I would just love, maybe we can dive a bit into healing from intolerances and like how, what can we actually do for our gut lining? Are there certain things that we can do? I guess, again, there also is probably not a one-size-fits-all solution, but like what is a good way or a good path to start with?
Yeah. So I'll talk about my own healing journey, essentially, and how I healed from intolerances and built resilience. For example, most lack of resiliences in the human body and intolerances stem from an inflammatory problem. And chronic inflammation, it compromises the tight junctions of our gut lining. So the inflammation, though, can come from lots of different things. It can come from unstable blood sugar. It can come from yeast or bacterial overgrowths. It could come from hormonal imbalances. It could come from environmental toxins. So almost everyone is dealing with some level of inflammation when it comes to their gut, but it's just figuring out where it started and how to get it down and what your triggers are. Because for the body to heal, sometimes it's necessary therapeutically to remove lots of different foods, because essentially if your body has started to create an intolerance towards a certain protein in a food, in order for us to be able to eat it again without issues, we have to remove anything that's triggering inflammation in the gut lining or the immune system. And essentially what that does is it gives the body a safety signal. The body's no longer getting inflamed and triggered every day by this food. So essentially it starts to tell the body, you can heal. You're not in fight or flight. You're not being damaged anymore. Now it's time to heal and regroup. So what I did is I removed a lot of the kind of classic pro-inflammatory foods like gluten, dairy, even though I love dairy and I'll talk about that later. Due to the way that it is processed, the interventions have made it highly inflammatory. If somebody was to grow up drinking raw milk that still had all of the intact enzymes, they're probably not going to end up with a dairy intolerance. It's very unlikely. So the problem is that the damage has been done by the processed, intervened versions of these foods. And so when we say you need to eliminate these for a while, we're not demonizing them. And there's a lot of, you know, I posted something on Instagram last night and I got all of these like really angry comments. People were really upset about, they were telling me I was demonizing foods and stuff. And I was just talking about eating those foods in their proper place. And sometimes in order to be able to eat foods without any gut issues, there is a necessary interval of time where you remove them. And so what I did is I removed a lot of pro-inflammatory foods from my diet for at least 12 weeks. And the reason that specifically something like gluten, you want to remove gluten for at least 12 weeks, is because the protein that causes most of the issues for people is called gliadin. And it takes 12 weeks to get eliminated from your bloodstream. So in order for your body to have a really good chance to take stock, heal, and just feel safe and secure, you need to eliminate it for at least that long. And that's going to give you the best chance to really see if gluten was a trigger for you. For example, some people say, oh, I tried doing gluten-free for a week. And that's just not going to be long enough. So yeah, I eliminated them for a very long period of time. And now I don't eat a lot of gluten because I just feel better when I don't eat it, even just mentally, because, unless you're sourcing organic non-glyphosate wheat that is, you know, made into a sourdough, research has found that nowadays 100% of people have an inflammatory response when they eat gluten. There's an amazing researcher in Italy. His name's Alessio Fasano. And he has done bucket loads of research on non-celiac sensitivity. And he has found that 100% of people that he's ever tested or done trials on or done research on have an inflammatory response. It can range from quite, you know, maybe unnoticeable to some people to extremely high. But a problem that I see is that unless a person has gone to their doctor with full-blown celiac disease, then even if they have extremely serious non-celiac sensitivity, I'm talking people that eat gluten and immediately have diarrhea in the toilet, some doctors will still tell their patients, it's fine, you're not, it's not the gluten. You don't, you're not red, you're not testing positive for celiac disease. And so people are still eating these highly inflammatory foods that are causing damage to them just because they haven't tested positive for celiac disease. But essentially understanding that gluten is inflammatory to an extent to most people, and we shouldn't, I think, be consuming it. Like, I don't consume it every day. So it's just something that I eat on a kind of just a intentional basis. I don't use it as the thing that, you know, is the carb element for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Whereas like it often is for people, like they'll have gluten toast, then they'll have pasta at lunch, and then they'll have, I don't know, something else that's gluten-y at night.
I mean, so many people, it's like the main food for sure. Like that's so common. Also, like over here in Europe, it's like such a huge thing to have, lots of carbs, lots of pasta, lots of like all wheat products basically from morning to night.
Totally. The only thing in Europe, the situation is slightly better because there's a lot of regulations as far as the use of glyphosate, which is this really toxic weed killer that's sprayed on a lot of crops in the West and in places like China and stuff. And essentially when glyphosate is sprayed on wheat crops, there's a process called haptenation. And when haptenation happens, wheat actually changes its molecular structure and it becomes a very inflammatory protein. So a lot of the time,
I actually think I've read somewhere though, or heard it on the radio, even when I was in my mom's car recently in Germany, when I was back there, that they actually started to allow more of that in Europe as well. So I think we have opened up our regulations, which is not good.
That is not good at all. That is not good. And then just about, so for example, you need to remove the triggers, but then you also need to go in and do something that's going to undo or reverse or heal the damage.
Yeah.
And sometimes eliminating foods isn't the answer, because if you just eliminate them and you might not have any symptoms, you might be like, oh, I'm not bloating anymore, I'm not blah, blah, blah. But as soon as you reintroduce the foods, you're just going to have no resilience. You're going to like eat a cake at a party and be bloated or have diarrhea or something. So you actually have to go in and repair the damage. So there are quite a few different things that you can take to repair the damage in like a therapeutic elimination protocol. There are things like colostrum has been shown to be really helpful. Glutamine, specifically L-glutamine, which is an amino acid, which has been proven to bind up the tight junctions of the intestinal lining. And there's herbs like slippery elm, things like that. But glutamine is probably one of my favorite things to use. It's not dairy like colostrum. And if somebody has a bit of an intolerance to dairy, then you kind of want to be a little bit careful with colostrum. So glutamine is like one of the safest things that you can supplement with in that healing phase. That is not going to trigger your immune system. It's just amino acid. Pretty much no one in the world is allergic or intolerant to meat. So if you can eat a steak, you can have glutamine. So that's something I love. And I would take that daily for, you know, a few months. And now I did other things as well. Like it wasn't just the pro-inflammatory foods that were causing the issues for me. It was also, and this is something I see with a lot of my clients, it was the overgrowths of yeast and bacteria that over time had caused, you know, chronic inflammation and damage to the epithelial cells that line the gut wall. So part of my healing journey and a part of my clients' healing journeys is doing a antimicrobial or an antifungal phase where we eliminate those pathogenic bacteria or yeast or sometimes even parasites. Parasites are really common these days, which is so disgusting to think about. But all of those things, you know, overgrowth of yeast, overgrowth of bacteria and parasites, they don't belong. They're not suited to a body that is optimally healthy. So when they're out of balance or there's too many of them, that is going to create chronic inflammation and increased permeability. It's also going to increase like the wrong kind of immune responses. So that is something that we work on eradicating. We'll take some really potent antimicrobial, antifungal herbs, get rid of those overgrowths. And then usually after that time, people just start being able to tolerate foods that they thought that they couldn't. I've even had a client, and I don't try this like at home until you speak into a practitioner, but I even have a client who was anaphylactic to crustacean. And after their gut protocol, they can eat crustaceans. And they used to literally take an EpiPen to restaurants and stuff in case they accidentally got some shrimp paste in their meal or, you know, somebody made a mistake. And now they haven't used an EpiPen for years.
Then that's they eat. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty incredible, the heightened kind of state of like immune response that you can be in when you're inflamed and yeah. your body has just all of these danger signals going off. You're constantly inflamed. Your body's just like, your immune system's overwired. Your immune system's constantly being triggered by inflammation. And it's just amazing when you get rid of all of that, how the body responds with health and healing, even with things that in the conventional space, they'll say, you can't heal from those types of like anaphylactic allergies. That's genetic or that's hereditary. Like you can't heal from that. But you can.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to like, please no listeners that have anaphylactic, please don't go and like, yeah, just
don't try it.
Don't put yourself on your own protocol and then start eating heaps of the food that you're allergic to.
No, don't do that. I have a question about, do you have any knowledge on like taking collagen to heal the gut lining? Does that work like similar to like the colostrum stuff? Or I don't know, because like so I haven't eaten any animal products for over 10 years. And I did do that for reasons, for like all of those health reasons. It was basically just through trial and error, also being like intolerant to certain things, having certain reactions to, well, like eating dairy. And then also, I think the only thing that I stopped eating without any reason was eggs. So that's like, I think that was like also more like a natural response after like starting to cut out everything and then being influenced by the media of like, oh, now you're on this vegan diet, which is great. And you'll like heal from that, whatever. So
are you still doing that?
Mostly, yes. Because I'm in a state of where it's, I gotten myself into that state where it started to become food fears. So it's like very hard to like integrate those things back into my diet. But I've taken the first step, which I'm really proud of. And I'm taking a supplement, which is literally hydrolyzed bovine collagen peptides.
That's a great, great start for you.
Yeah.
Collagen is a key component of the extracellular matrix in the intestinal mucosa. So it's a key component of providing structural support to the epithelial cells lining. So it's a great thing for you to be taking, especially, bovine-derived collagen is probably the best type of collagen you could be having. And it's, research has shown that it will support the tight junctions we were talking about. It supports the integrity of those and regulating their formation and stability and bringing them back together so that there's not holes. Because a lot of the time when they're separated, that's when a lot of the issues are happening because non-nutritive substances are passing out through those tight junctions into the body and creating systemic inflammation.
Yeah, that's stuff that we basically call leaky gut as well, right?
Yes,
Leaky
gut is when the tight junctions of the intestinal lining have become separated, essentially. Collagen has like glycine and proline, which are anti-inflammatory aminos. So there's a lot of antioxidant properties within collagen as well. So if you have inflammation in your body and there's free radical damage kind of floating around, collagen is going to help mitigate the effects of that. So definitely it's a great thing to be supplementing with. Especially, I think sometimes when people have been vegan or vegetarian, they start to, I feel like a lot of vegans eventually come around to the fact that veganism is not the most healthful diet. But sometimes with the overload of information of you need to start eating meat again, or you need to start eating animal products, they can sometimes introduce too much too soon.
Yeah.
And when you have been plant-based for so long, your stomach acid levels are going to be really low. So you're probably going to start eating meat. And initially, you might not feel very good. Like, You maybe feel like your digestion is really sluggish, like your transit time could be really long, like you feel like you're getting a bit constipated because your body's like, wait, how do I digest protein again? I don't know how to do this. Like, I don't have the stomach acid. I don't have the enzymatic function. So my advice would be starting small, and I would really encourage you to drink a bone broth or start making bone broth. Because taking it to a biblical perspective, you know, Jesus said to Peter, I think it was, like, kill and eat. Don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. And I just think that if you look at, you know, for example, people say, look at all of the nutrients in kale or like bell peppers or apples. And then I think, so if the reason you're eating a food is because of how many nutrients it has, well, steak outperforms those foods by a thousand miles with the quantity of nutrients and minerals that is contained inside like a single piece of steak. So I'm like, if we're going to, you know, talk about eating a food because it has so many nutrients, well, steak is like an absolute hero, because you can have a piece of steak and meet pretty much all of your sort of micronutrient mineral requirements. If people ate a steak every day, they probably wouldn't need supplements. It was grass-fed. But yeah, I would highly recommend that you, yeah, you start taking some, drinking some bone broth, because that's also going to, that's also going to start sort of warming your body up to the idea of animal proteins and animal products again. Things like goats and sheep's yogurts as well are amazing. I feel like where you are, you could probably access stuff like that. So those things are amazing. But I think the collagen is a really great start. And also the other things that you people can do to support their stomach acid and their digestion, if they are considering, you know, bringing animal foods back into their diet, is they can make sure that they're not snacking in between meals. So they're having, you know, three solid meals that have a fat, a carb, and a protein. And then they're not snacking in between that. Snacking is okay as long as it has a good protein component, because if you're having something high carb or high fat, you're just going to spike your blood sugar, which is going to increase inflammation. It's going to make you tired, sleepy. And the thing you want to think about is when you're snacking or when you're having any meal, it needs to be at least 3.5 hours after you ate the previous meal, because when you eat below that, you're disturbing and interrupting a process called the migrating motor complex, which is like a cyclic kind of rhythm in the body that moves food through your digestive tract into your bowels and helps you excrete it properly. And essentially, when you eat, it presses pause on that process. So some people have gut issues or digestive issues, or, you know, issues with constipation or bowel problems, but they're snacking 2 hours, constantly having that migrating motor complex interrupted. So
is so interesting. I never heard about this, but yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, so it's really important that, you know, you give your body time to do what it's supposed to do, to digest, and not have to think about trying to process more food that's coming in through your mouth. And the other thing is when we're constantly eating, that can impact our stomach acid levels as well. So if you are wanting to increase your animal product intake, 3 to 4 solid meals with a protein component and no snacking in between.
Yeah, that's good. Amazing. Yeah, I can take so much away from that now. So that is so good. I mean, honestly, it's so interesting, because that's been something that I feel like has been developing for me over the past couple of months. Like, it started somewhere last year where I felt like I actually believe that we are able to eat everything. And that was like even slightly before I started to read scripture and all of that. So that was like something that already developed in my mind, that I was thinking, okay, a healthy body should kind of be able to like digest everything, because that's how we are designed. And reading scripture and like all of that part actually reinforced that, because it's like you just said, it's like we are like, everything is like clean, everything is a good thing for us to eat. And so So that was something that definitely sparked that as well. And then just reflecting on my journey, noticing that a lot of the things I was trying to heal the whole time still aren't where I want them to be. I have my safe foods and I can kind of live off of that. But what I wanted to get to is the thing of like you said going to a birthday party, eat that cake, or like me going out with friends to restaurants, and I just wanna not having to think about, not even like, so for me, when I eat a vegan meal at a restaurant, it could potentially be that I react to something that is within that meal, because it's like something that my body isn't used to, or it just cannot digest as well. And sometimes you don't know that these things are in there. So it's always like a hit or miss situation. And I was just reflecting on that. Okay, I kind of want to like get to the point of where that is like, I can just not do that and just not worry and care about that. And so these were the things that then brought me into the space of, okay, what are things that I definitely need to change? And the first thing that just felt feasible to do is like taking a powder that tastes like vanilla and is a collagen that I don't really notice. I mean, I actually can taste it because I didn't have it for so long that my body definitely feels like there's a difference in like the food, the intake, the powder that I'm taking in to what I'm used to. But I'm really proud of myself, and I've been taking this for over 2 weeks now, I think, and that's a huge step. So
that's awesome. And I think something I tell clients as well is, if you put the work in to heal, then being healthy is easy.
Yeah.
So sometimes you need to spend several months figuring out your triggers, doing a therapeutic elimination diet, getting rid of yeasts and bacterias. Or when you come out on the other side, you've got health resilience. You don't have to worry about what's in the food at the restaurant. But there is a time of intention required to heal, and then health becomes easy once you've built that foundation of health. So in that healing period, sometimes it can be necessary to be a bit more strict with like when you're eating out at a restaurant, to be like, sorry, does this have seed oils in it? Can you cook it in coconut oil or olive oil or butter or something? There is that interim period of being more intentional and having to be more strict, but that is not how you want to live your life. And if you are doing a protocol that is not actually building long-term resilience for you, then it's possible that it's not the right protocol.
That's a good marker.
So long-term elimination diet on its own is not going to do anything. You have to go in and repair that, you know, epithelial cell, gut lining, wall damage, and all of that stuff. Figure out your triggers. Healing can be complex. Being healthy is easy.
Yeah. I mean, that's so good though, because there's something to work towards, and then it's going to be a good base to be on and be like, okay, I've managed that. Now I'm going to be fine, and I can just enjoy all of those things. Just eating out and eating what I enjoy eating, etc. And that makes life so much more enjoyable.
We'll have
for a sure.
chat. We'll have later, and I'll help you. I was just going to quickly say as well, like anyone listening who has health issues and they've been to doctors and specialists, and or they haven't been and they don't know where to start, or maybe they've had blood work done and the blood work has demonstrated that their labs are normal and that their ranges are normal and that there's nothing wrong, but they know that there's something wrong and they feel like there's something wrong. You have to take into account the fact that in conventional medicine, when they do blood work for people, when they test your blood, they are looking at your ranges within the perspective of the broad conventional ranges. And they are just based on the average of the population who get their bloods done. So that is not an indicator of health or lack of health. It's just everyone who's getting their bloods done. And if you think about it, most people who want to get their bloods done aren't feeling well. That's why they go and get their bloods done. So there's probably some sort of deficiency, some sort of illness, some sort of dysfunction going on for them. So if your labs are just within that normal average range, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But in functional lab testing, we look for suboptimal imbalances. We look for markers that are even slightly too high or even slightly too low. And when you can address those things in that early stage, that's how you prevent full-blown diseases and serious sort of illness and dysfunction down the track. So if you are being gaslit by your doctor and your doctor is telling you that you're fine and you know that you're not fine, you have innate wisdom that God has put on the inside of you. And if you feel like there is something that needs investigation, it probably needs investigation, because if you don't feel healthy, then you're probably not healthy. So please seek support and advice from a practitioner, not necessarily me, but ask questions about your health, because it's so important.
It is so important. Maybe just one last thing before we dive into wrapping this up, because we talked about this already a bit, but I think that also relates a bit to probably my own story. That's why I find it so interesting, because there's like so much information out there, so much information confusion, and there's a lot about like good and bad foods. Like, what is your approach to that? And like, how can we, like, I mean, would you just draw it back to like, okay, everything's good and everything in moderation, or like, how do you approach that?
Well, obviously there are people that have, you know, for example, autoimmune conditions, and there are particular foods that are really damaging for them. Foods that they potentially, unless they get miraculously healed, should never eat again. So I would say no, not everything in moderation. I would say one of the ways that I think, for example, I get really good results for people is because I take everyone as a bio-individual person and their case, even if they have the same symptoms, like even if two people both have eczema, they've got eczema for a different reason. There's a different trigger. Yeah. There's a different causative factor for that person. So I think it has to be a case-by-case person, like really assessing somebody's triggers, why they've reached this point, and then figuring out what the best plan is for them. You know, some people have undiagnosed autoimmune conditions. As I've said, in the West, it usually takes a woman about 8 to 9 years to get diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. There's always a dietary component that is creating a further stress on the immune system with autoimmune illness. So if somebody is eating a food that is creating this autoimmunity in their body unbeknownst to them, that's damaging. So I'm definitely not going to tell somebody, no, you should just still eat a bit of gluten and dairy or seed oils or corn or soy or peanuts or whatever it is, because, you know, God made everything perfect. Because, yes, everything God created was perfect and it was good, but sin came into the world. Yeah. And we know that there are things that don't work the way that they were, the way it's supposed to anymore. Thankfully, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law and from sickness and disease, and God has put sin and sickness and everything away in hell. I would say from a functional medicine perspective, which is better than the conventional perspective, with like for an autoimmune condition, for example, is you can take immunosuppressing drugs and that's all you can do. From the functional medicine perspective, we say you can put autoimmune conditions into complete regression or remission, but you can't heal. As a Christian, I say, yes, you can put it into a remission with food and nutrition, but also, by his stripes, you were healed 2,000 years ago. So I believe that you can be completely healed from autoimmune conditions, that God can completely reverse and heal your immune system. Until somebody has a revelation of that, where they understand that God wants them well and wants them to be healed, I don't recommend people just eat whatever foods, whatever they want, because if there hasn't been an intentional time of healing, or if they haven't had a miraculous healing, there are definitely foods that can cause damage. So I think it's about seeking a bio-individualized approach that is right for you and seeking somebody with wisdom and experience to help you figure that out. But also just asking God to give you wisdom and understanding in those areas. So
Yeah, that's good. So, so good. Thank you so, so much for sharing that on that part. That's really something so important, because I think there's like so much, like I already mentioned for myself as well, there's so much food fear out there, which like makes you maybe not seeing clearly what maybe is like good or bad. And then if you seek that wisdom, you can have a different approach. I know you like, you need to go, because like that is, it's so important. Maybe you want to just like very quickly answer the question, the last question that I ask everyone on here, and it's, is there one thing that you wish more humans would know about that touches you deeply?
Well, I've kind of spoken about it a little bit, but I wish that people knew the heart of the Father for them. and that he wants them well.
Yeah.
And it says in the New Testament, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So there are a lot of Christians, bless them, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ, but they believe that all God's concerned about is our spiritual prosperity, essentially being saved. But it says that, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So it's not just talking about being saved. It's talking about a total redemption of your life.
Yeah.
And something that is also really amazing that I wish people knew is that the word salvation is translated from the Greek word sozo, and it actually means a fully comprehensive healing of the body, mind, soul. It means salvation. It means being saved from the evil of this present world. And that's what Jesus came to do. It says that he came to deliver us from this present evil age, not just, you know, get us saved and we're sort of, you know, saved and stuck waiting for heaven because life's so terrible right now. Like, he actually wanted us, he came to give us life and life in all its fullness.
Yeah.
And we are blessed to be a blessing. And so many Christians are enslaved to sickness. They're enslaved to poverty. Yeah. This is not God's will for you. And that's not the prosperity gospel. But if you want to talk about prosperity, it says that he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jesus, for receiving that prosperity. There's nothing controversial about that if you actually look at scripture. So I just want people to know that if you're sick, by his stripes, you were healed 2,000 years ago. It's already done. You just need to understand that you've already got it. And just faith does amazing things. God has already provided everything. Our faith doesn't move God. Our faith unlocks what God's already done for us.
Yeah.
You don't have to, for example, when somebody gets sick, maybe with a cancer diagnosis, if they're a Christian, they think, okay, prayer chain. We'll get like 100 people praying for me, and then maybe that will, like, you know, touch God's heart and he'll heal me. But that's a terrible view of God. God is our loving Heavenly Father. Does he need to be, you know, begged and pleaded with to heal us? No. Like, our faith is what unlocks what God's already done. And that's what I've seen in my life, and with praying for, you know, other people that have had illnesses and, you know, marital problems and financial distress, is that when we step out in faith, it unlocks what God's already done. We don't have to move God. God moved 2,000 years ago. It's already done. And people need a revelation of you've already got it. You just need to believe. And just quickly, I know I need to go, but in the New Testament, there were two things that made Jesus Christ marvel.
Mm-hmm.
The unbelief of the people in his hometown, and it actually said he couldn't heal them because of their unbelief.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't he didn't want to heal them. It's because they didn't believe. And it's because there's spiritual laws. And when we have faith, when we believe, it unlocks the power of God. That's how it's not because God's not powerful. It's because that's how he set things up. That when we believe, amazing things happen. That's how he's ordained it. The other thing that made him marvel, and this is the only other thing that made Jesus marvel in the New Testament, was the faith of the centurion who had faith in his word. He didn't need Jesus to come and heal his servant. He said, just say the word and I know that it'll be done.
Yeah, so good.
Some people have a revelation that you have the word of God and it's all you need. It's the one defensive weapon against the enemy. Have a revelation that it's already done. He loves you. You're precious to him. He's a good God. Such a good God.
This is so beautiful. Yeah, he is. He is. He's so good. I love this. I love the way that our conversation unfolded. Thank you so much for your time. And quickly tell people where they can find you if they feel as touched as I feel right now by this conversation and just want to, just dive into your content and work with you, etc. Where can they find you?
So my Instagram is fertile_foodie. I almost forgot my handle. So it's fertile_foodie. So that's fertile_foodie. And on my Instagram, you can DM me or you can go to the link tree in my bio, which has a link where you can actually book a free no obligation discovery call. And that's a really awesome way to connect with me and pick my brain about your health,
perfect,
see if we're a good fit, or even just reach out if you are struggling with a health condition and you want prayer, because I am a big believer in, yeah, the prayer of faith that heals the sick. So reach out if you want support and, yeah, your health,
perfect,
spiritual or physical.
Thank you so, so much for being on here. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.